KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm excited to welcome our guest, Leslie Bodas, Director of Community Relations and Development for the Central California Blood Center, and Taylan Bennett, Director of Special Projects for the Jan and Bud Richter Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning at Fresno State. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So today we're going to be talking about one of the longest running partnerships that Fresno State has with a community benefit organization and our efforts to help give the gift of life through donating blood. Leslie, tell us a little bit about the Central California Blood Center and your role there.
You know, I'm really lucky. I get to have one of the most fun jobs in the entire Central Valley, and that's to work with the entire Fresno State Group, but all the people in five counties. We provide blood and services to patients who need support through transfusion at 31 hospitals, and we're the sole provider of that service. It's exciting because every day we get to deal with healthy donors who help us step up and be able to save the lives of patients. They may be leukemia patients or cancer patients or people burned or in accidents or heart surgeries. Blood is needed for so much. We need to see 300 donors every day. And if we don't, we could fail and someone could die.
Wow, 31 hospitals and you need 300 donors every day just
Absolutely.
To satisfy the local need.
Then this is just the local need. And we like to stand ready to be able to help across the nation where needed, because sometimes weather, we hear about hurricanes along the Gulf Coast often or blizzards in the east where blood banks can't be operating during that time. But the need for blood never discontinues. So we help right here at home. We help wherever and whenever the need is when we have enough blood to share.
You know, I remember running into somebody one time and talking about donating blood, and they said something to the extent of, oh, well, the only people who, you know, need blood are the drunk drivers who get in accidents and the people who get shot in a criminal activity. Obviously, that's not the case.
You know, so. There's some of that. There's certainly some of that. We can't live in the Central Valley or anywhere in the United States today and not know that there is a lot of violence. But we also know there's many, many times innocent victims. We have to stand ready to help whoever needs it. And medicine has gotten so high tech today that there are magic things happening that have people able to survive things that 20 and 30 years ago would not have been survivable. Yet the one thing that hasn't changed is the need for blood donated by people. People give to people, and there's not yet one substitute anywhere that can create the platelets that are needed for clotting or plasma that's needed when volume is needed or the red cells that carry oxygen. I've been around blood banking for more than 30 years, and we've been told year after year, there will be a blood substitute that has not happened yet.
So these kids that are at Children's Hospital or these moms that are having pregnancy complications, delivery complications, whatever else, there is no substitute for the blood that a donor rolls up their sleeve and donates.
You know, there's not. And that's the thing that we have to remember. We need to have that blood on the hospital shelf at the time it's needed, not when there's been an announcement of the need. I know it's really hard for people to recognize that it takes a couple of days for blood to be donated, processed, tested, and available for a patient. So we need to be really ahead of the game. We can't be asking people today to give for a patient who's in the hospital now.
Right. So I know that the Fresno State drives have been going on for many years, but back in the mid-90s, to date ourselves a little bit, you helped create a stronger partnership with Fresno State and the Blood Center. Now, the city of Fresno has over 500,000 people in it, and obviously you stretch well beyond just the city of Fresno in terms of who you're collecting from. So you've got a huge population to draw from. Why is it so important for the Blood Center to make a special effort to recruit Fresno State donors?
You know, the young people are really important to become donors, because once a young person becomes a donor and we can get them to donate three times, they then are a lifer. Unless for some reason they can't donate because of behavior or health. And Fresno State allows us to have a place to bring our blood mobiles and sometimes inside facilities as we used to do many years ago. But what happens is it becomes convenient. We talk about the need for donors. It also does something that I think is really interesting, and we've seen this all over this country and around the world. is when people learn about the need of other people, then often the student or the staff or the faculty here will really take care of themselves a little bit better because they know that there's a patient at the other end of the needle that depends upon their good health. The first thing we say to someone is, are you feeling well and healthy today? And it's important that people take care of themselves so they can be donors. It works. I've got great stories about students who have said, my iron's too low, I can't be a donor. That student then stepped up and said, I want to be a donor. I want to be responsible for helping in my community. And what's great is she changed her diet, started taking multiple vitamins that have a little bit of ferritin in it. She's now a regular donor giving every 8 weeks. That's student. And when we can do that across a campus, and it's not just one student, we hear that from many, then it's working together for healthier people to help people who are not so healthy.
So it's an opportunity to educate Fresno State students about not only what the Blood Center does and why it's so important to donate, but also about their own health and a way to help them improve their own fitness and viability
Absolutely.
As a donor.
And one of the exciting things is as a result of the blood drives, we often find students who choose then to seek employment when they graduate at the Blood Center. And it's a career path maybe never thought of before.
Yeah.
So there's just so many reasons to be on campus. Besides, it's fun. It's really fun for all of us to be able to spend some time with students, and the diversity of this campus is incredible. We know that we need to have students and people of diverse ethnic backgrounds because we're made differently inside and out, and often patients will depend upon people from the same ethnic background or race group to find a marrow transplant or to be a human leukocyte antigen or HLA matched platelet for people who are very sick. We need all of us to be giving.
And we're going to talk a little bit about getting on the Marrow Registry as well. Talen, you're a more recent addition to this effort to get Fresno State students involved in donating blood and blood products. Where do you work at Fresno State, and what's your role in the blood donation project?
I currently work in the Jan and Bud Richter Center as the Special Projects Coordinator, and so I have the honor of partnering with the Blood Center to bring the blood mobiles onto campus and to get students involved. But I actually started partnering with the Blood Center in high school at the Matt Mueller Blood Drive at Buchanan, and that's where I got my education on blood donation and the importance of it. And so 6 years later, here I am at Fresno State. Now I get to educate other students about blood donation, and so it's been a really great transition for me.
So I have to draw a little picture for the listeners. Talen is almost the picture of a recent Fresno State graduate and a co-ed, and Leslie and I probably not so much that look. But so not only were you involved when you were at Fresno State and are now, but even back in high school you were involved.
Yes, I helped the leadership team plan the Matt Mueller blood drives. And so we helped get high school students educated about blood donation and brought the community together onto campus to donate. And so now I get to do that with college students from all over.
And how many Fresno State drives are held each year?
We have 4 each year. We have 2 in the fall and then 2 in the spring semester. So our next one will be January 24th through the 26th. And then we will also have one in March, the 28th through the 30th.
And are they one-day drives, two-day drives?
They're 3-day drives. We start with a kickoff Tuesday night at the residence dining hall. And then we start Wednesday and Thursday. We have the blood mobiles on campus, usually right near the free speech area.
And they run for a few hours. What's the schedule
Tuesday night, we have them from 4:30 to 7:30. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, we have them from 10 to 4.
And while it's always tough for folks to get onto campus, are non-students welcome to come and donate?
Definitely. Non-students, faculty, staff, administrators. It's really a community effort. And the Blood Center needs our help.
What's the response from Fresno State students like? Are they coming out in droves? What are our numbers like?
Definitely. So this past fall, we had over 800 donors between the two drives, which is really remarkable. And so we have Fresno State students that are first-time donors and then become regular donors and donate through all 4 years.
So Leslie, you and I were talking recently, and I know that back when the blood drives were really ramping up at Fresno State in the 90s and early 2000s, I mean, we were talking about large numbers of students donating over a multi-day drive, I think 800-900 students over a drive. And those numbers have dropped a little bit. And I understand that's something that's happening around the country at college drives. Can you talk about that a little bit? And what percentage of the population typically donates?
You know, it's a very small percentage of population that donates. Only 35% of all people can be donors. Either they're healthy enough or they've got the time, but to that eligibility that they meet all of the requirements is about 35%. Yet we're looking locally at right about 3% of that 35% that give. So it's a very small group of people who donate. And we've seen this really dramatic shift in blood donation, not only here, but across the United States in particular. Since 2008, blood donations around the United States have dropped about 40%. That's significant. Part of that is the result of the economy and the problems that we had. It's also with new care delivery through accountable care that's saying cut back on procedures. It's also a lot of technology that has found that instead of 2 units of blood being transfused whenever someone needs a transfusion, they found that a patient can do well just with one. So we've done a cutback intentionally, and then there have been all the unintentional cutbacks. And people are busy, really, really busy in life. So we locally have seen a 24% decrease in donations. I had the opportunity to work out of Sacramento office for many years with another blood center and worked with a sextate, never as good as Fresno State, by the way, and UC Davis. And these were drives that would see 800 to 900 donors every time they had a blood drive. And they would frequent blood drives every other month. Those donations have dropped about in half. So there's some really, really significant challenges. What I love is that working with Richter Center and Fresno State, the students and Talen and the entire team from the Richter Center, and more focusing on Fresno State and its students, we're seeing those numbers go back up again.
So out of 100 people in the community, only about 35 of them are even eligible to donate.
Correct.
And then only 3% of them will actually go and roll up their sleeve and donate. Is my understanding those numbers correctly?
You're understanding the numbers correctly. And you'll see very often there may be a blood drive at a location, depending on if there are colds and flu and stuff like that going on at the time they're donating. We may have a blood drive of 120 donors. We may see 23 to 30 who are deferred because of colds and flu, or their hemoglobin is low, or they've traveled into an area that's endemic for malaria or Zika, which is now something we're dealing with. So there's a lot of variables, a lot of reasons why people can give, and a lot why they can't.
Mm. And so this 3% of eligible donors donating in our local donation levels, you're saying about 3%. How does Fresno State compare with other colleges? You said you'd worked with Sacramento State and UC Davis. How do we compare?
You know, it's smaller, certainly, but a part of that may be the diversity. And that's where we as blood donors and blood centers and student advocates need to work together so that we can break through some of the cultural misgivings. There are a lot of people who come from places where blood donation is not comfortable or familiar to them. So by working together and better informing people, we're going to see these numbers go up. And that has been our goal of working with Richter Center and the publicity we're doing on campus and meeting with students both in service learning projects and internships is to talk about how we get people to get beyond the cultural differences and to recognize that we can all be donors. And that's a really big job we have here. Huge campus, a lot of diversity, a lot of hard work that we need to do. And we as a blood center need to be better at communicating with students in the way they wish to be communicated with. Right now, we don't have the technology at our blood center to be able to text students. Now, we know some of the students here were texting one another, which is helping that drive grow. We're looking at how we can improve our technology so that we can communicate with our donors the way they wish to hear from us. We did a survey of more than 4,000 people just recently, and over 80% said, don't call me, text me. So we need to be able to do that. But working with Fresno State, we're learning to better communicate with young people.
You talk about some of these regulations and why people aren't eligible to donate, but we also have the cultural issues and things like that, the misinformation. Is there a lot of fear related to blood donation? I mean, are people not donating because they're fearful of the process or fearful of side effects or?
You know, the biggest fear, the one we hear about all the time, is the needle. People don't like needles. It's interesting. I've been in blood banking since the mid-80s and then in the 90s, and it hasn't changed. People still are afraid of the needle. They're also not certain whether they can be a donor. Sometimes people will say, well, I've had cancer. You know, cancer is okay as long as they've been cancer-free and treatment-free for a year, unless it's leukemia or a blood cancer. Then they can no longer donate again. There are people who have traveled outside the United States to areas that just because they went to Mexico, they believe they can't be a donor. And that's not it. there are different areas of Mexico that may be endemic for malaria or Zika, which is on the Gulf Coast rather than the Pacific Coast, and it's just a misunderstanding. And sometimes people are afraid to find out if anything's wrong. We hear that often. But you know what? Most people can give. Most people are healthy enough because we're going to screen them from the very beginning of the process. And the good thing is we're going to check a little mini physical, check their blood pressure and pulse rate and make sure they're doing okay. So it's getting beyond those fears. There's also a lot of cultures that say donating blood in some cultures could take my spirit away. And that's not fact. Well, we need to work with people on that. There are other in the Latino or Hispanic community that it's something that only women do to bleed, not men. So we're breaking through all that. It takes time, and we will get there when we work with Fresno State.
One of the things that you just mentioned is news to me and certainly relates to a couple people that I know. If someone has had cancer before, I always thought it was a permanent deferral. So it's not.
No, it's not. And that's a really good news thing because years ago it was. And that's the change in technology and our better understanding of disease process, viruses, okay, and bacteria. So there's been some really, really different changes. Cancer-free for 1 year, treatment-free for 1 year, and not a blood cancer. Generally, they can be a donor. And I will say generally because as soon as I say something for certain, the rule will change or there will be something specific about this person that causes them not to be a donor.
Okay. I've got two people who I'm going to make a phone call to and say, hey, did you know the FDA is putting up a lot of these regulations, obviously. So those are the things you have to deal with. And so, Talen, you've got these issues related to the small percentage of people who can donate. You've got issues around the FDA regulations. You've got issues around misinformation about the donation process, the safety of it. Sounds like you really got your work cut out for you because many of these Fresno State students, they are 18, 19, 20. This may be the first time they've been approached as donors. What do you do to recruit students, staff, faculty to come out to these drives?
I think the best way is word of mouth and the education piece. Once they understand the need and the educational piece behind it of that they can donate, then students want to come out. And Fresno State students especially want to give back to the community. And so we have a student group called the Serve Committee, and they generally work to hang posters. They send flyers out to the university courtyard, which is a lot of first-time freshmen that are in there. And by word of mouth, just getting the word out, posting it on social media, and informing their classmates about the need and the importance of blood donation.
So outreach all over campus, student peer-to-peer kinds of things.
Yes. Faculty and staff get engaged. We send out a campus mailer to all of university campus to encourage them to come out and donate. And our students do a really great job of advocating for the blood center.
Are there other offices besides the Richter Center that are involved in this effort in some way or another?
Yes, definitely. We work closely with University Courtyard. The residence dining hall is gracious and lets us use their facility for our Tuesday night drives. And we also work with the student group Be the Match on campus.
Okay. So this is not something that just there's a small group of people working on. You've got a number of students. You've got other campus offices that are involved.
Yes. It takes a whole team to get this thing going. And I think we've been collaborating very well with the Blood Center, and there's definitely room for growth, but we really appreciate all of our partnerships.
So we've touched on it already a couple of times, and I'll let either or both of you address this. You're registering also people for the National Bone Marrow Registry, and that happens during every campus drive, I understand. Can you tell the listeners a little bit more about that?
Definitely. So about every 3 minutes, someone is diagnosed in the United States with a blood cancer, such as leukemia or lymphoma. Be the Match is a national organization, and we're lucky enough to have a student group on campus that's a part of that. And so they're out there, and it's a simple cheek swab to get on the registry, and there is a huge need for it. This is a way that we can cure blood cancer. And a lot of patients, this is their only option. And so it's very rare to be a match. And if you're called to be a match, you have the chance to save someone's life.
So you say a cheek swab.
Yes.
So people know what you're talking about.
Yes. It's a simple Q-tip. You swab the inside of your cheek for 30 seconds on each side. And they take that and they compare it to other registrants.
Wow. That sounds pretty simple. No needles, no nothing.
No. Very simple to get on the Marrow Registry.
Leslie Talen mentioned how hard it is to find a match from the registry for a patient who has leukemia or lymphoma. How hard is it?
You know, you'll hear numbers, everything from 1 in 1 million to 1 in 20 million. It depends on the background of the person. It's really a tough thing. This is why the diversity at Fresno State is extraordinary and incredibly important.
What is it about the diversity issue that makes it so important for a marrow registry?
You know, the best chance of finding a match, and it's a bone marrow match or a cellular match, is from the same ethnic group. It more often happens from Hispanic to Hispanic, from Asian to Asian, than mixed race. If we have mixed race patients, and many, many of our patients are mixed race today, it's going to be very, very difficult to find a donor. So it's important for everyone to get on the registry between 18 and about 40 or so. It used to be many, many years ago you could be much older, but we're finding that the best match is from a younger person because the cells are better for use for the transplant.
So another reason to make sure that our college students are getting on that registry in as large a number as possible. Obviously, they are a very diverse group of individuals. They certainly fit the age range.
And the important thing is when one goes through a marrow transplant, they have to have blood to support that. So the two go hand in hand.
So you do the cheek swab. This sample gets sent in. They think you might be a match. So what happens?
There's a process, different steps. So they make sure that you're in general health. They do a couple follow-up exams to make sure that it really is a match and going to be suitable. And then there's two different ways that you can give. One is through a procedure that they take from your hip and take the bone marrow. And another is a one-day in-and-out patient procedure. And so it's fairly simple. The recovery time is quick and you get to save a life.
Boy, and you're right. I mean, you get to save a life. I mean, if you're thinking about the numbers that you talked about, Leslie, anywhere from 1 in 1 million to 1 in 20 million. I mean, if you're the 1 in 20 million people who can save someone else's life, what a gift for the donor.
Right, exactly. And we've actually had a student from our university that was able to donate and to be a match and to save a life. And so it's pretty incredible that someone from Fresno State was able to help someone else in our community.
So every blood donation, they talk about the gift of life. Every blood donation goes to treat 1 to 3 patients, I understand it. Every blood donation can treat up to 3 patients. So every time that a student or anybody else rolls up their sleeve and donates, 1 to 3 people in area hospitals are going to get a life-saving treatment. And then with the bone marrow situation, it may be the one match that makes that life-saving difference. So, you know, I think that's important numbers. People say they're afraid of the needle. Well, you know, you can save a life. Maybe you can save 3 lives in a very unique way. So, Taylan, when are the upcoming drives again?
Our next one will be January 24th through the 26th. And then we'll have one in March from the 28th to the 30th.
And Leslie, are there other ways that folks can get out there and donate or support these drives?
You know, there certainly is. You can step up and work with the Richter Center Group or others on campus. And one of the things that we've really had a great opportunity to enjoy this year and many years ago before is working with students who are doing service learning projects or who are doing internships. We have learned from Fresno State students how to better do our work, how to better care for our donors and better publicize the need for donors and blood drives. There are so many things that could be done. And you know, there are some students who can't give. There are many people who can't. But all of us who can't, we have friends and family who can. We can encourage, recruit, and be part of the process to get people to give blood.
So the Fresno State students, they're not just rolling up their sleeves and being donors or getting on the National Marrow Registry. They are also helping out behind the scenes with recruitment, like Taylan, you mentioned the SERV committee, but this marketing group, they're out there helping in the blood center. I think you had mentioned at one point in time there was a group of nutrition students who were doing education around iron levels and how to bring up their iron levels. So they're involved in a number of different
ways. You know, it's been so exciting this year. One of the groups out of the marketing department put together a Putting Community Back in Community blood drives in Kingsburg. They had great success. They were a delight to work with. We also had nutrition students who came in and looked at the most critical issue in blood banking today, and that's iron depletion through the way we live or through donation. We're finding that when people give, we deplete their iron for a period of time. They've worked with us. They've taught us how to talk to our donors about how to take care of themselves better and how to combine food groups so that the iron pills that they take or the multivitamin that they take will better be absorbed into the system and help pump up their iron levels.
So our students who are in a program that's designed to learn about nutrition, they're now going out and teaching others about nutrition and the impacts that it has on donating blood.
Absolutely. They've been coming in and presenting to our RNs and phlebotomists, to our marketing people, to our board level people. It's been very exciting. We're learning from Fresno State.
Wow, that's wonderful. If a student wants to get more information about how to be involved, how do they get a hold of you, Taylan?
They can stop by the Richter Center, which is in the Thomas Building, room 107, or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at the Richter Center.
Okay. And Leslie, if somebody, they don't want to come to campus, student or non-student, how do they get in touch with the Central California Blood Center, or how do they donate?
Best way is to go to our website. There's every location of blood drives and the location of our four donor centers, 3 in Fresno, 1 in Visalia. There are blood drives almost every single day. Donor centers are open 6 days a week. We encourage them to reach out. If they can't give on campus, come by our other blood drives or our donor centers and let us know that they're donating for Fresno State.
So that's SynCal.
It's donateblood.org.
Donateblood.org, or just Google Central California Blood Center.
Correct.
Okay, great. I want to close by thanking both of you. You've been great guests, Leslie and Taylan. I really appreciate it. We thank you for being here today. And thank you to our listening audience for joining us this morning. Please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. Also, please like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.